So, we're continuing our Coming Home series. This is the theme for the year. And like I said, I've not been doing a lot of Sunday morning things related to the theme. Probably I'll do some more, but this theme is more like for us. And we're talking about coming home. All right, so what is our place? Now, about a month ago, we had a leaders meeting, and I asked the leadership group, what do you want me to cover for midweeks? And they said, we want you to do a class on lordship. And I thought to myself, well, I talk about that all the time, practically every week. All right, but then thinking about it a little bit more, I thought, how does the concept of the lordship of Jesus apply to the coming home theme? So what we're going to talk about is commitment to Jesus in the form of commitment to one another, to the body. All right, so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about an aspect of lordship, which is our commitment, our devotion to his body, the church. Now remember, way back in December, we introduced this theme, and we talked about, you know, the idea of coming home. We talked about four categories of people we want to reach out to and kind of bring home. Those who've strayed, and we've talked about that some. We're still planning to do a banquet for the people who are former members who kind of, you know, not been coming lately. We put that off to the fall for practical reasons. And then, of course, coming home is reaching out to the lost, people who've never been part of our family. All right, but tonight I want to talk about those of us who become kind of sort of somewhat distant from the body over the course of 14 or 15 months during COVID. It's a natural thing. And I think some bad habits have crept into our church. Look around. I don't mean to discourage anybody, but look around. Okay. Let's be honest here. There's a few people who aren't here. All right. Our membership is somewhere in the mid to upper 60s. All right. And let's say there's five of those who their work just absolutely forced them to not be here. Maybe there's five that are away on vacation, but there's some people that aren't here tonight. And unfortunately, I'm preaching to the wrong group. All right? You got it, folks? So the people, honestly, in our church who need to hear this lesson tonight are exactly the ones, probably, who aren't here. So your job is to pass this along. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to kind of get in your face a little bit this evening, okay? I normally do Bible lessons and stuff like that. Tonight is not a Bible lesson. In fact, I'm going to use verses that are so familiar, it's like, you know, duh. You know, every scripture tonight is going to be a scripture you've heard like literally 100 times. All right, so absolutely nothing original about the lesson tonight. It's reminding you of stuff you already know. But I'm going to do it with passion. Because I care about this. All right, Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. Well, we spent a little bit of time in Ephesians, right? I'm going back there. All right, here we go. In fact, this is the passage from 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to take a slightly different cut at it. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, and after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they have feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. If we are members of his body, For this reason, a man will leave his wife and his father and mother, rather. He won't leave his wife. That's not a good thing. He'll leave his... you're supposed to laugh. That was funny. Okay, good. All right. Yeah. We'll leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So what's Paul talking about here? He says it. He says it right there. What's he talking about, Leo? He's talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. And he's using marriage as an illustration. He's also teaching about marriage. He certainly is. But remember what Ephesians is about. It's about the church. All right, so Christ wants to do a couple things here. First of all, in verse 25, it says Christ loved the church. Verse 25. And it says he gave himself up for the church. And then in verse 27, it says his goal was to present the church to his Father as a radiant church. Now, I want to make an application here because this is talking about what Jesus did. And I say this is exactly what we should do. If Christ did it for the church, shouldn't we as well? So let me reread these passages and make an application. It said in verse 25 that Christ loved the church. So I propose, therefore, we too should love the church. So does that mean we love a building? Do we love an idea? I'm going to talk about whether the church is an idea or an actual thing. I'm going to get very, very slightly philosophical for you for a second. Then I'm going to get right back to practical. Christ wants us to love the church. Do you love the church? Is the church on your mind? Because you know what? If you're in love, the thing you're in love with is the thing you're thinking about a lot. And do you find yourself thinking about one another during the week? Or do you kind of space it out? You come here on Thursday, oh, hi, you know? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, Egypt. Oh, that's right, she is in my church. You know what I'm saying? All right? How much is the church, which I'm talking about the members of the church, on your heart? Because I'm telling you, you are on Jesus' heart all the time. He loves you, and he gave himself up for you. Are you willing to give yourself up for the sake of the church? Now, who are we the most proud of for being here tonight? The answer is Sean and Stephanie. They drove over an hour to get here. That's a big commitment. And, you know, compared to Jesus giving his life on the cross, it's a small thing. But shame on some people whose names I'm not going to say who aren't here tonight, who, I don't know. I don't know what reason. You know, their kid had a soccer game, or, you know, it was a long day at work. I'm sure Sean works 9 or 10 hours a day. He gets home right around 6 o'clock, and they were here at 7 o'clock, all right? That's what we're talking about. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. And are you giving yourself up for the church? And if so, what would that look like? And then in verse 27, he says, to present her as a radiant church. And Christ does that largely through us. How can you and I make our body radiant? I'll tell you one thing, if they're not here, they're definitely not going to be made radiant. That's for sure. So how have you been doing these things? Okay, how have you been doing these things? How have you been loving the church, giving yourself up for the church, and making effort to present the body of Christ as a radiant body? Okay, next slide, please. So when it says Christ loved the church, what does that mean? Oop. Next slide.
It's coming. Ah, there you go.
So what is the church? 97% of this lesson is totally practical, but I'm going to do just a little tiny, tiny bit of Bible teaching here. What is the church? You know, actually, the word church in English has four meanings in the dictionary. The most common meaning is a building. We just totally ignore that. Another meaning of a church is like a denomination, right? Like the Episcopalian Church or the Catholic Church. That's not a meaning in the Bible. But there are actually two different meanings of the word church in the Bible. One is church with a capital C. The other church is church with a small c. Okay, church capital C, that's the thing that Jesus died for. All right? It's sort of like almost like an abstract concept. That church capital C, and by the way, when I write my book on church history, I drove my editors crazy because sometimes I have church capital C and sometimes small c, and they want to keep changing it, and I keep changing it back. And I know, you know, they finally, all right, well, we worked it out. I'm sure there's still some mistakes. But, the capital C church, that's the thing you became part of when you were baptized into Christ. Every single disciple of Jesus is part of this church. It's the assembly of the saved people. All right? And every single person who's been saved through the blood of Jesus is part of his church. But, and we see one scripture on that is Ephesians 5:25. Jesus did himself for the church. So for this thing. And in fact, it's kind of a fun exercise. We did this for a Bible talk one time. We pulled out about 12 verses with the word church. We asked, is it the first meaning or the second meaning? It was about 50-50. Now, the second meaning of the word church is little c church, which is a body of believers that meets together. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Because how can you make the capital C church radiant? I don't even know how you would do that. That's Jesus' job. You can't die for the capital C church. In fact, you can't die for any church. Well, you could, I guess. All right, so the other definition of a church is, for example, in Romans 16, 3 through 5, for the church that meets in Phoebe's house or something like that. All right, so that's the meaning of church that we usually use, but actually in the Bible you'll see both. It's kind of a fun exercise, kind of do a word study in the word church. And actually, in the New Testament, it's probably sort of close to 50-50 which one it is. All right, so a church then, a little c church, is a local body of believers which submit to a local leadership, which agree to fellowship together, and which, working together, put the one another passage into effect. That's what we did this whole series for all these midweeks, the entire year so far, we're talking about little c church. And this little c church is like the city on the hill to which those who are looking for God will be attracted to. A local congregation of faithful believers. We as a body are the visible church, small c. The capital C church you can't even see. When you are baptized into Christ, you become part of the capital C church, but you also are expected by God to be part of a church, you know, little c church. So how can we love the church and give ourselves up for? I don't know, but I definitely think we can help Christ present the local church as radiant. How? By loving and giving ourselves up for the local church so that the church, the body of believers that we're all members of, will be presented to God as a radiant church. Now, luckily, we are what's known as the International Churches of Christ. If you're a visitor or a guest or whatever, I don't know, we didn't come up with this name, somebody gave us this name. And the reason they call us the International Churches of Christ is because we're wicked crazy all over the world compared to our size. We have churches in about 150 countries. But for a church that has only existed as a separate group for about 40 years. All right? So, luckily, you can be anywhere in the world, almost literally anywhere in the world, and meet with us, which is kind of cool. All right. So now, what I want to talk about, could we go to the next slide? I want to talk about my concern that post-COVID, our church is not as radiant as Christ wants it to be. All right? I'm just trying to be honest. And guess who's bears the most responsibility for that? Me. That's my job. So if I don't say anything, that means I'm doing a bad job. That's why I'm saying something. All right? So how do I know that, you know, that we're not functioning as super awesomely as we ought to, and in my opinion, even not quite as awesomely as we were, say, a year and a half ago? Well, because when I just talk to people, they're talking more about other stuff in their life rather than talking about us. It's kind of a giveaway. I'm not saying this to be down on anybody. I'm just describing the situation. What can I say? I'm just describing the situation. If anybody should be down on, it's me, not anybody else. So there you go. Because that's kind of my job. But the other sign, telltale sign, is a lack of commitment to attendance at Bible talk, church, and midweek. What can I say? If you're a member of this church, you're expected. Yes, expected. To be at church on Sunday, to attend a Bible talk once a week, and to come to devotional every other week. You don't have to. You know, your salvation is not based on that, but that's what the members of our church do. All right, that's kind of the basics. I mean, families have rules. So if a family has a family meeting, then the members of the family are at the family meeting. You know, it's not like optional. Now, let's say that, I don't know, you're in the hospital. Then obviously you're not going to be at the family meeting. Okay? I get it. But the problem is that's not the reason a lot of people are missing. People are missing because they had a birthday. So they went away to Vegas or to the coast or something like that. I'm getting real here because that's where everybody goes right now. And okay, well, couldn't you go to the coast like on Monday and Tuesday instead of on Thursday? I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Does it feel like I'm being legalistic? Maybe I am a little bit. But I'm thinking this is just the basics of a radiant church. I don't know. It seems pretty basic. At least one of our Bible talks is only meeting every other week. And the reason they're meeting every other week is they can't get the members to come every week. What's up with that? I thought we were, forgive me, I don't know, maybe I'm being harsh, but I thought we were disciples. If the Bible talk leader can't even get the people to come every week, and I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but if you want to be an evangelistic Bible talk, you got to meet every week, okay? Yeah. Now, if you want to just take care of the needs of the members, every other week might work, you know? In fact, we have devotional every other week because, I mean, to take care of the members every other week, you know, we can meet some needs. But if you're not meeting every week, the visitors are never going to know when you're meeting. Are you kidding? So you might as well just pack it in. And I'm not going after the leaders. It's the members. And by the way, they're not here. I think we have two groups that meet only every other week. By the way, I don't tell the Bible talk leaders how often to meet. I just don't do that. I flat out don't do that. Because that's just not my style. But I'm telling you, I definitely don't agree with it. Just so you know. I'm just being honest. Because if you want to have an evangelist, and besides, I understand. It's mainly because their members aren't supportive. All right? And if you're the person I'm talking about, I so apologize if I'm even slightly making you feel like going after you, because that is not what I'm doing. I understand. Okay? Got it? All right. Bottom line is, I do not want to see devotion to God's church go downhill on my watch. I want people in this church to be more devoted to God and therefore to His church than they were when I got here. And if that doesn't happen, that's a dereliction of duty on my part. And besides, it's in the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Now, talk about a scripture you've heard 100 times, all right? You could probably just say, yeah, I probably don't even need to read this scripture, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. We're talking about the most basic possible thing here tonight. This is not theology. This is, I thought you were a disciple night. Got it? Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Says here, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of the faith that faith brings, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit are doing. I don't know who, but there's a few that are. Okay? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right, now here's what he's talking about. He's saying, here's what God did for us, verse 22 and 23. Here's what God did. He cleansed us of a guilty conscience. What's that worth? What's the value of salvation? Of having your sins forgiven. He says, he has cleansed us of a guilty conscience and washed our sins away. And then he says, therefore do this. You know? I mean, God says, all I did was send my son to die, and I cleansed your guilty conscience, and I took away your sins. Now I'm asking you to go to church. And some of us are saying, I'm too busy. Seriously? My cousin came into town. Well, tell him to come into town on Monday. Or come to church. I mean, they'll be offended. Let them be offended. You know? Let them be offended. I've been a Christian for 42 years. I have never missed church in 42 years because my family was doing something. And my family knows that by now. And I don't know, maybe they would have been offended, but by now they're just used to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too tough here. I understand there's different cultures, and I know. But anyway, is this too much to ask? He says here, let us consider how we spur one another on. And if you're not here, you can't spur on or be spurred on. It just doesn't work that way. So God wants us to spur one another on to keep meeting together. So here's the thing is, who did you call this week? Maybe there's somebody in your group that you suspect is not, I mean, they do love God, they're saved, they're going to heaven, amen, they're part of a fellowship, but you know, they're not really super consistent about coming. So did you call them? Did you offer them a ride? Now, you shouldn't have to. I mean, come on, they're a disciple. They should be calling you. But here's what I think's happened. I think we've kind of accepted that it's normal that some people come kind of, you know, when they can. All right? And I'm telling you, Jesus said, I did wash away your sins and cleanse your conscience. And could you please come to church and not be in the habit of missing? Okay? And so we need to spur each other on. And you know what a spur is, right? Okay, you don't know what a spur is, so it doesn't help us to know to have that a spur. That the people with a horse, it's the thing with the little pointy things, and they kind of get the horse right in the belly. That's kind of mean, but they don't really do it hard. They just kind of barely. I mean, the nice horse owners, they just kind of and the horse is like, oh, okay. Okay, so sometimes we need to be spurred on. Okay? Have you ever needed to be spurred? So did somebody spur you? Because if they didn't, then you probably just didn't show up, and you probably became less devoted over time, and who knows? What does he talk about? Just look at the scripture. Right after verse 25, what does he talk about next? He talks about falling away. That's what he's talking about, folks. Right? He says three things. Number one, Jesus, he cleansed your sins. He cleansed you from a guilty conscience. Then please just go to church, and if people don't show up, spur them on. And then the next thing he's talking about is, if we willfully continue in sin, no sacrifice for sins is left. That's what we're talking about. And again, our salvation is not yes or no based on attendance at church. That's what I'm saying. If you're saved, you're saved. We're not talking about salvation, at least not in the immediate situation. All right, but, So we need to, some people honestly need a little bit of spurring, a little bit of encouragement in love. And, one thing I know is when you said Jesus is Lord, you said you'd be there every single time. That's what you said. So what happened in the meantime? It's like when you got married, you said for better or for worse, and then it's for worse, and then suddenly it's not, what's the deal on that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. I put my hand to the plow, and I'm not looking back. This is not hard to figure out. All right, so I think some bad habits have crept in. And I think it's just some of those sort of gradual thing, and then it just developed over time. So family's in town, we have a family reunion, there's an important sporting event, in quotes. We miss midweek, and then Bible talk. I make Bible talk, at least half the time. Okay. I'm trying to think. How often do I miss church? And by the way, no, it's not because I work for the church. My rate of attendance at Bible talk, midweek, and church has not changed at all since moving here. So it's been 42 years. How often do I miss church? But by the way, if I'm in Fresno and I attend the Fresno Fellowship, come on. You can spur one another on. Okay, got it. About once a year. About once a year. And I'm talking about not since I moved here, but in the last 42 years. How many times have I missed church on Sunday because I was sick? In 42 years, one time. And I was in the hospital in Nigeria, and I was wondering if I was dying. And I'm not exaggerating. All right. Now, that's probably ridiculous. I probably should have missed at least two or three times in 42 years. There's probably a couple times that I actually should have stayed home because I was probably passing a disease on. Okay? But broken bones? Jan, she had a cesarean section on Monday, and she was in church with our son on Sunday. And it's like, of course she was. And by the way, at that time we were attending a mainline church. They didn't have discipling going on there. Nobody was going to hold us accountable. I guarantee you nobody was going to. Come on. Forgive me for using myself as an example, but I'm just going to do it, okay? How many times do I miss midweek per year? Probably, I would guess, about one, but now that we meet every other time, maybe about one, but maybe we meet every week. Probably I'd miss like one or two in the year, because I really go out of my way to never ever miss on Sunday, and I just go really far out of the way to not miss on Wednesday. Now you have to understand, when we were in Wisconsin, we were driving an hour and 15 minutes each way on Wednesday night for 7 years. We missed one time because there was a tornado, an actual tornado, and we had to turn around because it was coming towards us. Oh, okay, we missed. Snow, several inches of snow on Wednesday night, we were there. Okay, why? Because Christ died for the church and he gave himself up for her and she wants to make a radiance, so we're going to be there. Okay. How often do we miss Bible talk, Jen? Even less, like zero, pretty much, because it's at our house. But still, I missed midweek
in 42 years for being sick exactly one time. And I was so sick, I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't walk. All right? So I missed. Okay? Why? Because that's what I said to Jesus when I got baptized. You know, again, this is not complicated. It's not hard to figure out. The bottom line is, are we loving the church? Are we giving ourselves up for her? And are we trying to make her radiant? Okay, how many of the times that I've gone in 42 years did I get home and think, man, I sure wish I'd stayed home? Maybe a couple of times, but almost never. It's probably more accurate than to say never, probably almost never. Some of us have a headache and we miss midweek. You know, our knee is hurting and we miss midweek. You know, it was a hard week at work, so we miss Bible talk. Or I don't know what it is. So I know I'm getting kind of specific, but that's what I'm talking about. Last minute, a family member comes into town, so I don't make Bible talk. Train them. If you come into town last minute and I got Bible talk, you have to, you know, you can come or just wait at my house. I mean, you know, what's more important, your family member or God? You say, well, God wouldn't understand. It's true, he'll understand that you're not as committed to him as he's hoping that you were. Again, I do not want to push legalism. If it feels like it, then I'll just apologize if I'm pushing legalism. All right? So if they schedule a family reunion event that conflicts with church, tell them, sorry, but you know that I go to church. They'll adjust. They'll figure it out. And by the way, you know, parents with little kids, you know, sometimes one of you is going to have to stay home because the kid's got 103 temperature. Okay. Jan and I got lucky, I guess. That almost never happened. But, you know, come on. You got little kids, you know, arriagadas, you know, whatever. Yeah. All right. Amen. So anyway, our attendance on Sunday has been about 50. And usually we have about 10 visitors. That means 40 members are coming. And I checked with Monroe because I thought maybe we had a bunch of people coming online. And how many people have been coming to the online service lately? Like 2 people. So that means the 25 who aren't here are just, I don't know. I think they need to be spurred on because God is not happy with that, and I'm also not happy with that. Okay? So the bottom line, this is not acceptable. If this was some evangelical, you know, pray Jesus into your heart church, I guess it's normal over there, but it's not normal here. Members, attend! Okay? Are we a church of disciples or not? Hebrews 10:25. Oh, I already read that. Oh, yeah. And it says, when you come, encourage each other. Amen? That's Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 3:12 and 13. Whew. Okay. By the way, I'm a non-confrontational person. I'm a conflict avoider. So I'm getting out of myself tonight to do this because this is not what I like to do. Not my pleasure. I'm not like, yes, I really get to get in people's face and tell them they're not committed enough. Besides, the fact is that people are here. Anyway, never mind. All right, Hebrews 3:12 through 13. I told you already, the verses we're reading tonight are ones that are so familiar. It's like, you know, this is the most unoriginal lesson I think I've ever taught in my life. Because it doesn't need to be original. Hebrews 3:12 and 13. Says here, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ because we got saved, and that settles the deal. Is that what it says? Once saved, always saved? No, it says, we've come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. And I'm afraid some of us, honestly, are losing our conviction. If that doesn't apply to you, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Okay? So, some of us have gotten caught up in sin in the past 15 months. Jan was talking to Eve, and Eve mentioned at least, I think it was 8 people she knows in our church who started drinking. Drinking alcohol. And enough that at least occasionally they're actually getting, they probably wouldn't admit it, they wouldn't call it drunk. But let's put it this way. If the cop pulling over you would arrest you, then you're drunk. So we have members who've been getting drunk. Are they going to hell because of that? I don't think so, because God is amazingly merciful. But see, I believe we're falling down in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Again, I'm just being real here. And if it applies, it applies. You know? Louis's here tonight. Honestly, Louis Jr., he kind of messed up. And we forgive this kind of stuff, right? We're not judging people there, but by the grace of God be I. All right? Got it? And, you know, that's not, we're not here to say you terrible, terrible person. We're here to say this is what we need to do, and if we don't do it, that's what's going to happen. And Lou will tell you it's more his fault than anybody else, but that's beside the point. Because who was calling him? I called you probably about 3 times over a course of 3 months. Maybe that wasn't enough, and maybe I didn't ask enough questions. Maybe not, you know? And how about the rest of us? I hope I'm not being too personal on you, Louis. Amen. So see to it. Am I my brother and sister's keeper? You absolutely are. But encourage one another daily. Now I've been talking about this, and I've been talking about this, and I've been talking about this, and I've been talking about this. And I'm going to ask you again. Who did you call today to encourage? Who did you call yesterday to ask them how they're doing? And texts do not count. Now, if you sent some texts to, praise the Lord for that, but they officially do not count. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. Okay? Because people can blow off a text. Are you kidding? So, we got to understand, there's people in our church who are more out there than others. You've hardly seen them at all for weeks. They're the least connected ones, and they're also getting the least phone calls. I call those people. I don't call the female people in that category. I don't. But the male people in that category in this church, I call them. All right, but they need to get some other phone calls. There's people that you knew weren't going to be here tonight, right? There's people you knew. You, if they come in, you would go, oh, that's so awesome. Okay. So, it says here, we need to encourage each other daily. Now, how often is daily? That means daily. All right? And make a call. Thank you. Sure, sure. Go ahead and make a comment. Yeah.
There are times that I won't make it to a midweek or a Bible talk, and I try to be accountable for myself, and
good.
I reach out and let someone know, hey, I'm not going to make it to Bible talk.
Right.
I have something going on, blah, 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 blah. Is that okay?
Between you and God. Okay, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, but absolutely, if you're not going to be there. For example, Oscar can't come very often because he has an hour and a half north and they make him work on Sunday. But he always lets us know. Every Sunday he lets us know. Now, I think a conversation should be had, honestly, with my brother Oscar, who's not here, about maybe changing jobs. Okay, you know. But at least he calls. And whatever you do that you didn't do is better than if you didn't do it, all right? All right? And again, I'm putting a standard out here, and I'm not going to back off of the standard. I'm not going to back off. I am not going to back off on it. Every member, every Sunday, every midweek, and every Bible talk. Is that asking too much for Jesus who died for you? That is not asking too much. It's just not. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. But I'm afraid the people aren't here. Most of them aren't one of those exceptions. That if we had an honest discussion, we'd go, oh yeah, that makes sense, sure. Jesus would be happy with that, sure. All right? Again, here you're getting lectured and you're not even that person. But, you know, I can't really give this lesson on Sunday morning. This is family stuff, right? This is family stuff, so this is when I'm doing it. Amen. I need encouragement in order to not sin. By the way, I get less calls than practically anybody. Almost nobody ever calls me. Alan calls me. Louis calls me sometimes. Alan is the most faithful person at calling me. Alan Lincoln. And before he left, Chris. But I get almost no phone calls. What is it about church leaders? I don't know. Do you think maybe I could use an encouraging phone call every once in a while? I actually could. All right? I actually could. Like I say to Josh, the phone actually goes in both directions. Josh calls me every once in a while. Like every once in a while, but not very often. I love you, Josh. But, you know. All right. And notice, what's he talking about? Immediately after, he says, so that basically verse 15, today if you hear his heart, do not harden your voice, your hearts. So again, that's what we're talking about. All right. Last scripture, 1 John 3, 1. Oh, yeah. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. That's a great one. Again, talk about a classic passage. By the way, this verse has been taken out of context and misused by our church for years. But I'm going to use it that way anyway, okay? Because I don't care. Well, I care, but Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Oh, it's 8:09. All right. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. It says here, so don't worry saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what will my second cousin on my mother's left side think or what will my boss think. For the pagans run after all those things and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, this verse has been used out of context in our church because we are taught that the kingdom is the church, so this is about going to church and all that sort of stuff. And honestly, when it says seek first the kingdom, that means seek first the reign of God. That has broad implications. And the way we use this in the church, no, in the kingdom study, not exactly perfect. And by the way, I created a new version of the kingdom study. Send me an email, I'll send it to you, which does not sort of misuse this scripture. Nevertheless, the thing we talked about was actually true. I mean, part of seeking first the kingdom is loving the church and giving yourself up for her. And I mean, the church is, in a sense, now God's version of the kingdom on the earth here. And, what does it mean to seek that? Seek first his kingdom. Sure, we've taken this scripture out of context occasionally. It's true. And the kingdom is a lot bigger than just the church. But it certainly includes putting the needs of your brothers and sisters before your own at times. It certainly means making phone calls. And going to visit. Imagine going to visit somebody at their house. I know that's really old-fashioned, but, it's a good thing to do. And where what are your priorities? Who do you pray for? How often do you invite people to church? What needs have you met lately? And this, by the way, this doesn't include just members. When you're seeking the kingdom first, this includes bringing outsiders into the church. It was fun. Last night we went out sharing up there in Tehachapi, and it was fun. We had a great time. It was so much fun. When was the last time you went out sharing your faith?
When was the last time you did that? Now, honestly, for about 14 months, you'd probably get thrown in jail for going out and sharing your faith, and there's a good reason for that. So the fact that you're out of the habit, so was I. I hardly shared my faith for a year, honestly. But seek it first the kingdom, you know?
So, whose needs have you met lately? Who that we don't see here tonight are you going to call tonight or tomorrow and say, hey, brother, sister, love you. Missing you. What's up? Let's talk about it. Really? Okay. Do you think Jesus would agree that that was the right priority in that situation? You know, I thought it was kind of assumed that members go to every midweek and every Bible talk, and they support their leaders rather than giving them a hard time. All right, so amen. So yeah, we did that verse. Thank you, Joseph, for remembering that, for helping me to remember it. 1 John 3, we'll finish here. We may not even have time for our usual discussion groups, or we could discuss anyway if you want to stay. Okay, 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. See, home is a place where family meets. And God says, you're part of my family. God has lavished his love on us. So much he said, come live at my house. Come have dinner with all the rest of my family. What a privilege that is. Verse 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. There you go. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. There you go. Have you been doing that? Have you been laying down your life? That means at the end of the day, you are worn out and tired because you went and brought food to a brother or sister who didn't have it. You went to the hospital and visited Aileen, who's stuck there. She can't go anywhere. You did that. Now, I've been visiting her, but that's easy for me. I go during the day. For you, it would be tough because you got a job first. All right? It says, Jesus laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and see a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Amen? And everybody here, just by the fact that you're here, I know that you're doing these kinds of things. But how about possibly God wants you to do more of those kinds of things? All right? And it includes being aware of the needs and taking care of them. It says that right here in this verse. Last section here, 1 John 4, 7 through 12, which says, for there are 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. It's about love. Coming to Bible talk on Tuesday night, it's about love. And, you know, is it asking too much? Is it asking too much to think of two or three people in our fellowship who honestly are not real strong right now and just going to visit them, call them, pray for them? I don't think it is. I really don't. So that's what I had tonight. And we'll throw some possible questions up there, but it's awfully late. So if especially families with kids, if you left right away, I totally get it. So here are the questions, if you have time. Do you need to do any reevaluating your priorities about these three attendance things I talked about?
What can you do to more encourage one another, to spur each other on? And does your love for the body of Christ reflect his love for you? Thanks, everybody. Love you.
And we're done. Yeah, we could do a prayer.
Hi, Dr. Pace.
Thank you, God, for this time tonight. God, thank you that you gave us a church to be part of. And I pray that we'd be committed to making each other radiant, that we'd give our lives for each other, not worrying about whether other people are giving their lives for us, because I know that if we do that, that'll happen too. God, we confess that we've allowed the situation in the last 15 months to erode some of our conviction. I know you're a loving, merciful, and patient God. I know you'll forgive us, and we'll totally, completely, utterly forgive each other right away. But God, I pray we would have more conviction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
More conviction.
Sorry about it. Using it as an example, but... Oh, what happened? Oh, you're the one who...
Yeah, who do you think it was?
All right. Was it me? Louis has a great excuse for not being here. He has a great excuse for not being here tonight. He totally... Is that at work?
Yesterday.
He totally smashed his finger. He's probably on drugs right now from...
I didn't want it.
They just gave him silent.
No. Saint Jan, she was at the doctor today to try to give her drugs. She's there. No, no drugs.
Yeah, but I denied the x-ray and everything.
Why did you deny the x-ray?
Because it's not broken.
Okay.
It's not broken.
It's just smashed.
The tip probably fractured, but I said, Doc, what are you going to do for a fractured tip? He goes, nothing.
Exactly.
I said, so why are you going to make me waste my time to take me back there, x-ray it for a fractured finger that you're going to do nothing about? He said, you're absolutely right. I said, okay.
But it should be taped together right now.
Nah, forget that.